Hi, everyone. This is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach and best-selling author of How to Blog a Book and the Author Training Manual and several ebooks. Today, we're talking about branding, which is one of my favorite topics. Most authors and aspiring authors don't think about branding. If they do, it's way later than they probably should be thinking about it. But I'm not a branding expert, so I have brought in a branding expert. But I work on branding with my clients all the time. So I'm really excited to talk about this subject and to get some more clarity on how authors can brand themselves. So I am here with Dori Clark, a marketing strategy consultant, which I think means a branding expert, but Dori can tell us. And she is the author of Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. So welcome, Dori.
Thanks very much, Nina. Good to talk with you.
You too. So first I should probably ask, is a strategy consultant a branding expert?
Well, one of the things that I like to say is that, I'm generally against people calling themselves experts. It's usually better for others to bestow the title. And so, but I have, so let's see, I have it in my bio. So Fortune, Inc., and the Associated Press, they have called me a branding expert.
Right.
So I'll coast on those coattails and say sure, but it's not typically how I present myself. But okay. I do talk about marketing and branding a ton.
Okay, good. All right. So for those who don't know Dori, I'm going to tell you all a little bit about her, which includes that little bit about the Associated Press and Fortune. So Dori is a marketing strategy consultant, a professional speaker, and a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and the World Economic Forum blog. She is indeed recognized as a branding expert by the Associated Press, Fortune, and Inc. magazine, and she's the author of, as I said, Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future, which has been translated into Russian, Chinese, Arabic, French, Polish, and Thai. Her next book, Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It, is going to be released next month. We're recording this in March. It'll be released in April 2015. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Dori consults and speaks for a diverse range of clients, including Google, the World Bank, Microsoft, Morgan Stanley, the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Yale University, the Mount Sinai Medical Center, and the National Park Service. And Dori is an adjunct professor of business administration at Duke University's Fuqua, I don't know if I pronounced that right, School of Business, and a visiting professor for IE Business School in Madrid, Spain. So you must do some traveling there, Dori. She has taught marketing and communications to a variety of universities and has been named to the Huffington Post 100 Must Follow on Twitter list in 2013 and 2014 and to the Nifty 50 list of top women on Twitter. She was also named one of Inc. magazine's 100 Great Leadership Speakers for Your Next Conference and recognized in Forbes as one of 25 professional networking experts to watch in 2015. She's quoted frequently in the worldwide media, including NPR, the BBC, and MSNBC. And I think this is really interesting. At age 14, Dori entered Mary Baldwin's college's program for the exceptionally gifted. And at 18, she graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Smith College. And 2 years later, only 2 years later, received a Master's of Theological Studies from Harvard Divinity School. So lots of different interests and moved through that schooling really fast. So you can follow Dori on Twitter at Dori Clark. Seems like we all want to be following Dori. Or visit DoriClark.com if you want to go to her website. Okay, so I want to just take just a minute for you to tell us about your new book.
Yeah, thank you, Nina. So the new book is called Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. And it's really, in a lot of ways, a continuation of the kinds of branding themes that I covered in Reinventing You. Oh, thank you. And even a prop. That's
yes,
fantastic.
There we go. See, I even have it. And I didn't buy it just for this interview. I actually had it.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. Even better. But so Reinventing You is a book for people who are looking to make some kind of a change in their life. You know, it could be a change in their job, in their career. It could be that they just want to change how they're perceived by other people so that, you know, their true value is being better recognized. Stand Out is a continuation because, you know, the real question is, once you reach the place where you want to make the mark, what, you know, once you've decided, all right, I'm going to be a blogger on this topic, once you decide, all right, I'm going to write a book on this topic, and you know where you want to be, how do you then stand out from the crowd? How do you make sure that your message is not just communicated, but is actually heard by others? And so that's what I talk about in that book, is really how to build a following around your ideas and become recognized as a leader in your field.
Super. Perfect. Perfect. So tell me a little bit about how you got started with branding.
So for me, and this is actually essentially the fuel behind Reinventing You. I had a lot of careers, particularly in my early 20s. It took me a long time to try to figure out the way that I was going to be able to make my mark professionally. And so I was a journalist. I was a political spokesperson on a gubernatorial campaign, on a presidential campaign, ran a nonprofit, did a lot of different things, but eventually started my own communication and marketing consulting business. And, you know, really that was the result of me having worked in the communication field, you know, through political messaging and newspapers, and then taking that and realizing during the course of running a nonprofit for 2 years that really what I was doing was learning how to run a business and saying, oh, you know, I could turn this into an entrepreneurial venture. So that is how I came into marketing and branding.
Interesting. Okay. So what is there a difference between branding and marketing strategy?
So, you know, marketing is typically paired with sales, you know, when people think about how these things fit together. And, you know, I think of marketing and sales as really kind of a continuum, right? You need both. Marketing is getting people interested in you. It is, how do you make people aware of who you are and really like, oh my gosh, I like her stuff. I have to know more about this. And then sales is that final, you know, that final few yards where you actually get them to say, oh, and I like her so much, I'm going to buy her book. And so the better your marketing is, the more you draw people in and attract them to you, the easier the sale is, because you don't really have to persuade them if they're already chomping at the bit to buy your book. So that's marketing and sales. Where branding comes in is that is the overall image that you are placing in the mind of your reader or of your customer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the brand, you know, someone might be excited, you know, let's say in the business world, we'll pick someone who's a big seller, like Tim Ferriss has a new book. Right. So he does marketing about his book to let people know that the book is out there. And then, you know, he might include a little sales pitch. Oh, buy it now. There's a special pre-order bonus or something like that. But the reason that they want to do this in the first place, the reason they are receptive to his marketing, is that they know the brand of Tim Ferriss. They know what he's standing for. Oh, he does life hacks. He does, you know, all these ways to make life easier. And he does these crazy stunts. And I really like what he stands for. I like the brand. And so therefore, I'm going to, you know, buy this book. So a brand is kind of the totality of your reputation and what is conjured up in people's mind when they think of you. And there's a lot of different things that, you know, you do. Marketing is one piece of establishing your brand, but it's really, you know, your personal brand is the sum total of your reputation.
Super. Great explanation. And so why would aspiring authors or published authors or even bloggers, I work with a lot of bloggers as well, want to concern themselves with branding?
Well, you know, essentially, you know, some people get a little twitchy about the term brand or personal brand. But, you know, fundamentally, what we are talking about here, your brand is a synonym for your reputation. And so if you literally have someone who says, oh, you know, just substitute the word, right? I don't care what my reputation is. Who needs a reputation? You know, it sounds kind of ridiculous. I mean, we all understand, A, no one can opt out. I mean, you do have a reputation, whether you want one or not. People think something about you. And so if you actually want to be successful professionally, it's probably useful for you to know what your reputation is. And if it is not what you want it to be today, try to, you know, just take a few steps to steer the ship to make your reputation match what you hope people think about you.
Okay, great. Super. So it's really not just about those big box corporations and and stores. Authors really need to see themselves in the same light, right? Almost like a business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's about making sure that that people understand who you are and that they appreciate you for the right things. So, you know, if you are somebody who prides yourself on, you know, writing, you know, a particular genre of thing, you know, let's say, you know, you think of yourself as being, you know, a literary fiction writer who happens to write things that are inspired by food and culinary traditions. You know, maybe that's the sandbox you want to play in. And instead you are grouped by other people, like they're not getting you. And they're like, oh, well, you know, let's put her in the travel section, or let's put her in the food section. And you're like, no, you know, that's like food and travel is part of it, but really it's about this, you know, this love story. Really, it's about this literary fiction. You don't want people to misapprehend you in that way, because it means that the wrong people are going to see you and the right people aren't going to see you. If you want to connect with your audience, you need to make sure that the message is clear about, you know, who you are and where you want to be. And that's what branding is about. Right. It's about getting in front of your people.
Right. So it's about making that decision about how you want to be known in the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so how early does that happen? At what point does an aspiring author or somebody who wants to start a blog or whatever, when do they make that decision?
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a decision that's kind of made through accretion, because a lot of people don't necessarily think about it strategically from the beginning. So it's something that kind of, you know, builds up over time based on different decisions you make, based on the different stuff that you might write or different associations you join or, you know, the conferences you attend or the places you speak or whatever. And, you know, that's fine, but it becomes problematic because at a certain point, unless you're paying attention, your path and your ideal path may diverge, and it right. just begins to get farther and farther apart. So it is useful, I think, fairly early on in one's career to start, you know, at least ideating, you know, and saying, oh, I would like to be mentioned in the same breath as these people. These are the people that I want to be talking to. If you know, if these people could read my work and be impressed with my work, that would be great.
Right. Okay. So there's a starting point, it sounds like, and a destination where we're going, right? So how is the book that you want to write the starting point and the destination something else? I mean, how does it, I know that you write about starting points and destinations in Reinventing You. So how does that all come together?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, really in Reinventing You, I outline a three-step process whereby, you know, people do personal branding. The first step is getting clear on what your brand is currently, because, you know, as I said, we all have a brand. And if you don't know where you're starting, if you don't know what your brand is today, it's very hard to reach your destination. I mean, it's like saying, all right, I'm going to sail to Africa. But if you don't know if you're starting in Europe or you're starting in Asia, you have no idea where to go. So getting a pulse on how you're perceived now is very useful, and probably the easiest way to do it, honestly, because we're all a little bit deluded when it comes to ourselves, yeah. is to ask your friends. And so I actually lay out in Reinventing You I call it the three-word exercise, and it's very simple. It's literally just over the course of a week asking about a half a dozen friends and colleagues, if you only had three words to be able to describe me, what would they be? And it's really helpful because it allows you to just hear what's the first thing on people's minds when they think of you, what stands out the most. And, you know, that's helpful because, you know, you probably have some special angle. You probably have some special sauce that you can be, you know, that you can be known for, that you can be pushing. And you know, knowing that is great. So the second phase, then, once you understand where you're starting, is creating that future vision, creating that picture of where you want to go, and actually charting out, all right, what are the steps I need to do to get from here to there? If I'm not at my current, you know, destination that I have in mind, which most of us aren't, you know, what steps do I need to do? And then finally, it's about what I call living your brand, because your brand is about a lot more than just what you say about yourself. Your brand is a lot more than your elevator pitch. Your brand, because it's everything that people think about you, you need to really approach it holistically. So your brand is, yes, what you say about yourself. It's also how you dress. You know, is that consistent with it? I mean, you know, there's a reason that Mark Zuckerberg wears hoodies and not three-piece suits. he would probably raise eyebrows as a high-tech CEO if he wore a three-piece suit every day. So, you know, there's just sort of signaling devices. It's, you know, who are your friends and colleagues? It's what professional associations are you part of? Who do you ally yourself with? You know, who, if you're a writer, who's blurbing your books? Those are signals of the type of genre that you're in, or the type of friends, or the type of caliber of writers that you have in your circle. So it's about aligning all of those things so that people really can't miss the message of who you are.
Right. Super, super. And I totally get the bit about, you know, that you're here and you might want to be over there, and, you know, it's never, I don't know, it just seems to me you may just set out to get over there and there still could be that diverging path and you get kind of off course.
Yeah.
And I know that I started out thinking that I was going to be one sort of writer and be known for one thing, and I definitely took a different trajectory and am now trying to get back to where I thought I was going, and that developed the need for sort of this umbrella brand over everything I was doing, because I couldn't just drop what I'd started, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I needed something that encompassed all of it. And so I definitely see that. So you talk about test driving a path. What do you mean by that?
So one of the things that I cover in Reinventing You is the fact that sometimes people can get a little, you could call it prematurely excited about a certain direction that they're going in. And, you know, and it's a little bit of a personality type thing, but sometimes people say, oh, this is perfect. This is, you know, this is exactly what I want to do. And they may not necessarily have all the information about it. And they dive in, they tell everybody in the world, this is what they're going to do. And they get into it just a little bit and they realize, oh God, that's not what I thought it was. And so they have to pull back and start and do something else. And frankly, it's, you know, once maybe, but if you do it a few times and it gets embarrassing because your friends begin to say, oh, well, you know, she's crying wolf,
right.
You know, because it is an investment in political capital for people to support you. If you decide, oh my gosh, I want to be a professional travel writer, that's what I'm going to do. And somebody puts chits on the table and says, oh, you know what? I actually know the travel editor of the New York Times. I'll introduce you. They do that for you. And if you suddenly decide, oh, actually, I don't want to be a travel writer, you've hurt that relationship because you're not serious. You're wasting their effort. And so what's really important, by all means, you know, use the connections you have and go all in, but only go all in once you know that really that's what you want, so that you can, you know, line everybody up behind you and go for it. So the way you test drive your path is, you know, it's sort of a multi-step process, right? But so, you know, one thing to do is, you know, do as much research on your own at first as possible. You know, read every book, read every memoir. This is not going to be hard for your audience here, but, you know, really try to get into the nitty-gritty. If you think you're interested in, you know, writing books about finance, you know, once you've read 50 books on finance, does it still seem as appealing? Or does it seem more appealing? You know, what's the sort of verdict? If you get more and more excited about something, the more into it you are, great, keep going. But if at a certain point you're like, oh yeah, I've read enough about derivatives, you know, then maybe it's a warning sign.
Right.
And then, you know, the second step is beginning to have these conversations, beginning to have these informational interviews, both with people that you know and connections of people that you know. You do that, then you put yourself out there on the line. And you literally, the best way to know it is to try it. I think a lot of people don't take advantage of things. They maybe think it's like, oh, this is just for kids, for college students. But it is one of the best things you can do, even as a quote unquote grown up, to do an internship or to volunteer somewhere, or, you know, to do job shadowing for a couple of days, just to dive in. Most people, honestly, unless you're trying to job shadow, you know, Barack Obama, they're probably going to say, yeah, sure, why not? Because people don't ask. And as a result of that, you're going to be able to see with your own eyes whether something appeals to you.
Right. Super advice. So with branding, it's really all about, my understanding, about developing a way to be remembered and to stand out. But how do you actually determine if you and your book and your products and services that are related to those books are different, and then leverage that information into more book sales, more clients, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I work in the business genre, and you know, one thing, you know, it's interesting. I was at an event last week, and I was talking with this woman who's a very successful academic, and you know, she kept pushing, because this is what you're trained to do in academia. She's like, well, so what's new about this? What's new? And you know, finally I had to be like, you know what? Nothing. Nothing's new, because nothing in the entire business genre is new. Nothing in the health genre is new. Guess what? Eat less calories than you burn. Whoa! You know, like, there would not be a genre of diet books or health or fitness books if it wasn't hard for humans to assimilate this information that we all know. And so for a lot of books, I mean, you know, yes, there's some genres where, yes, okay, something really is new. But in a lot of cases, it's not. What's new is the way you present the information. What's new is the types of stories that you tell, or your perspective, because you're writing as a former soldier, or you're writing as a mom, or you're writing as somebody who, you know, overcame a disability, or, you know, like whatever it is. You're writing based on your own unique experiences and the stories that you've gathered, and maybe just the way you put it together and frame it. And that's important, because different things are going to resonate with different people. And so, you know, if you're, I don't know, a 70-year-old former auto worker and you have cancer, you're probably not going to read Crazy Sexy Cancer. But if you're like a 25-year-old and you are diagnosed with cancer, you're going to want to read this book, because it's by a pretty young woman who overcame cancer, and you can relate to it. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. I want to be like her. And so you're writing for your audience. And so is it new? I mean, maybe not in terms of some of the information, but it's always new, because you're the messenger and you convey it in your own way. And so as long as you're able to be clear on who you are and that audience messenger fit, then it's new for them and it's good for them and it's valuable for them. And so, you know, I create a lot of content and I put it out there because I know some people are going to like my style and some people are not going to like my style. And, you know, you put it out there so that the people who like it can find you.
Right. Right. And so you mentioned stories, and I know that there is this need to develop a story that goes with your branding, you know, narrative. So talk to us about that. What is this story? What is this narrative we need to have?
Yeah. So the narrative, this is the part, you know, people often ask me, what is the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to their personal brands? And oftentimes what I've found is that the place where people make the biggest mistake is in their narrative, specifically the lack of creating a narrative, because many people assume, they're taught to assume, oh, just work hard and it'll all take care of itself. People will get it. People will pay attention. Maybe this might have worked a number of years ago where everybody, you know, is in these tight little communities and you know, we're not distracted by Twitter and what the Kardashians are doing, and people, you know, like in Mayberry, watch everything you do like a hawk. But, you know, it's not like that anymore. And the world is not paying that much attention to you. You know, maybe your mom is, maybe your sister is, maybe your partner is, but that's about it. And so if you want the world to know what you're doing, you have to tell them what you're doing. Because if you leave it to them to figure it out, if, you know, I mean, particularly if you've made a reinvention, particularly if you used to have some job, let's say you were an attorney and now you're a novelist, or let's say you're switching genres. Maybe you used to write books about, you know, parenting, and now you decide you're going to write a thriller or something like that. You know, people are going to hear that and they're going to be like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And it might make sense to you. It might make perfectly good sense to you, but you have to provide them with the tools, the explanatory tools. You have to be able to tell the story succinctly so that they can become your ambassador. Because otherwise, if they have to invent it to become your ambassador, they're going to come up with some crap and it's not going to make any sense.
Right. Okay. So we're telling a story about who we are, or how basically how we want to be known, all those kinds of things. if I'm understanding you correctly, so that people get us, right? Get what we're doing. Okay. Now, what about if, kind of like I mentioned, you need to rebrand yourself? I mean, your book is called Reinventing You, but in some cases, people just never put a brand out there, right? Yeah. But in other cases, some of us, we have been moving forward with an expertise, producing books, maybe have a blog that develops our authority, all that stuff. But there's another direction we really want to go in that we're passionate about, and now we need to rebrand. Is it possible for us to do that, to go in a new direction, and how do we accomplish that?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. So there's a couple of thoughts here. I mean, you know, certainly harking back to the, you know, to the narrative question, coming up with a narrative to explain it to other people is essential, but a couple other things that are essential as well. So one, again, this is not heavy lifting for your audience, which is great. And that's content creation. You have to show people that you know what you're talking about in your new genre. Otherwise they're going to be skeptical. They're going to say, well, you know, but what does a lawyer know about writing mystery novels or, you know, something like that? They're just, you know, they're going to be skeptics. And so you have to create enough content. And, you know, it could, you know, be short stories. It could be blog posts about the craft. You know, depending on what you're doing, you can write all kinds of things. It could be, you know, let's say you're a lawyer. Okay, well, you decide you're writing a mystery novel. So maybe you start blogging about, you know, different ways that you've seen criminals get off. You know, the 10 most inventive ways that criminals got off from their crimes, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. But you begin doing this and people start to see you in a new light because it's like, oh, wow, I thought she just wrote contracts. But now I see she actually knows a lot about crime. And, you know, yeah, I guess I could see her as a crime novelist. And, you know, so you begin to make it plausible in people's minds. So content creation is really important. The other thing that I think is important is, you know, what I will call taking people by surprise. And basically this means that you should do something unexpected. You should do something to, like, break their mental model a little bit. Mm. So you know, when left to their own devices, people are a little bit lazy. They'll continue thinking of you in the same way they have always thought of you. You have to surprise them enough to so that they say, oh, really? Well, that's interesting. And it forces them to reconsider who you are. So, I mean, it could be taking, you know, I mean, it varies by person, but, you know, maybe it's as simple as if you're somebody who's never spoken up and has always been really quiet, maybe you're the person who raises your hand and says, you know what, I'm going to take the lead on this presentation. Maybe it is doing something, you know, that just, whoa, like, guess what? I'm going to take a 3-month sabbatical from my job and I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go write somewhere at a writer's retreat. Oh, okay. You know, maybe it's taking a role in a professional association. You know, no one really thought of you as a mystery writer, but now you're going to be the local chapter president of Sisters in Crime. Oh, okay. You know, it's right. Just doing something to cause them to pay more attention than they normally would.
So it could also be actual changing of the visuals on your website, like mm-hmm. the banner or the tagline, something like that actually is saying, this is now what I'm focusing on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, great. And so that actually brings me to my next question, which is, which maybe you've already answered, which is how do you introduce that? Is it just by this thing that you do that kind of breaks their mental construct, or is there something else we're supposed to do when we introduce a new brand?
Well, you know, it's doing those things literally. And then it's also just, you know, finding ways to tell people that you're doing those things because you want to reinforce it in multiple ways. So, you know, at a very basic level, I give a lot of talks about and write a lot about networking. And, you know, one opportunity that a lot of people miss, I mean, literally, you know what questions people are going to ask you at a cocktail party. Everyone asks the same questions. What do you do? What are you up to lately? You know, what are you working on? And most people have just the dumbest answers. They say, like, oh, same old, or nothing much. You know, it's like they're missing this prime opportunity. And so you just have to be ready when you're in these circumstances to say, yeah, well, you know, I'm actually really excited because I'm making a big transition in my life and here's what I'm doing. And then, you know, oh, okay. So, you know, that'll catch them and make them pay attention.
Okay, super. And so you talked about early on, you talked about the three things that, you know, go into kind of reinventing yourself and coming up with your branding. Mm-hmm. But are there any other elements that go into forming a brand? So like when I work with my clients, we talk a lot about values and passion and purpose and the themes and topics in their books and, you know, how we could then carry that out as a brand on their website, for instance. So mm-hmm. What would you say? What goes into forming a brand?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple of different ways that you can think about branding. I mean, one is you know, sort of a top-down approach, you know, which is totally cool. I mean, you could start with sort of like, you know, adjectives or whatever. You know, I want people to perceive me as being creative and thoughtful and, you know, like whatever. Right. You know, you sort of ideate that and then come up with things that reflect that. And that can be part of a brand. Okay, so if you're, you know, creative, maybe that implies one thing about how a logo should look compared to another thing. Or maybe, you know, that implies that it would be better suited for you to be involved in this professional association versus that professional association. The other thing that I actually suggest, because sometimes that can be a little intimidating for people to be like, oh my God, what's my brand? You know, it's like this very existential question. So instead, what I actually suggest is almost the reverse approach, which is what I call a bottom-up approach to branding. And so I write about this in the Harvard Business Review. I did a piece about this question. And, you know, there was a guy that came to me who was a senior partner in a consulting firm, and he really didn't know what his brand was or even what he wanted his brand to be. And, you know, this is a guy, the problem is not that he, you know, has nothing to say. The problem is he has too many things to say. You know, he's very knowledgeable, worked in a lot of countries, worked in a lot of industries. And so what I suggested to him is literally start with the stories you tell. And, you know, this might resonate with your readers and listeners. You know, take a Saturday, go to a cafe, write down the stories that when you think about your professional life and what has shaped your values or your outlook, what are the stories you tell over and over again? What are the moments or the instances that you keep coming back to as being significant for you in formulating who you are and where you're going? You write them down. And in the process of doing that, you ideally begin to see themes. You know, oh, okay, this really stands out about leadership, or this really stands out about whatever. And it's in thinking through those things, literally starting with the stories, you begin to extrapolate your values. You begin to extrapolate what you want your brand to be.
Okay, that's great advice. So is there, I mean, you've given us a lot of tips on how to develop a brand. Is there anything else in terms of the process? If our viewers or listeners say, okay, you know, I want to try to do this on my own, are there some other tips you would give them to go through the process of trying to brand themselves?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a variety of different things that that one can do. One thing, you know, just to pull a strand from my current book, Stand Out, something that I think is really, and I also touch on this a little bit in Reinventing You as well, is I think it's really important for people to have, you know, what I call a mentor board of directors. Lots of people would like mentors, but when we think about them, I think we often think of the classical definition of a mentor as being someone who's like, you know, just like me, but a little bit older and a little more prominent or a little more famous or something, and then they're going to take me under their wing. And that is great when that happens, but it's a little bit of a lucky break too, because there's just not enough mentors to go around. Mm-hmm. And so what I suggest to people is that you need to really form your own board of directors of people. This could be peers. This could be someone who's older than you. It could even be a subordinate or, you know, like a junior colleague. But the idea is not to try to find the perfect person that you want to be like. The idea is to find one or two things that you want to learn from each person, so that you can, because we can learn something from almost everybody, and in totality, they can make you better. And those are the people that over time can begin to give you the kind of unvarnished, honest, yet really caring feedback that you need in order to crystallize your brand and to continue improving yourself.
Okay. And does any of this differ if I were to add, you know, go back to marketing strategy? Would there be different tips you would be offering?
Yeah, so I mean, marketing strategy—it's a little less about the you know, the big picture of your identity, and it's a little more about the tactics of how do you market a particular thing. So, you know, for marketing strategy, that would be I would say more about, all right, you have a new book coming out. What's the marketing strategy for your book? So you'd begin to want to look at certain channels or things like that. So you know, as we think about brand, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, yes, you need to create content and, you know, what's your content about and that kind of thing. For marketing strategy, it's like, all right, well, you know, clearly the audience you want to reach is on Pinterest. So you should double down on Pinterest, but you are writing a business book, so you want to double down on LinkedIn. You know, it's a little more in that vein of tactics. And I talk about this a little bit toward the end of Reinventing You. But for people who are more interested in that, on my website, actually, doryclark.com, I have 400 free articles that are available for folks, and they can find them there on the site.
Okay, great. Any last bits of advice on how authors can create a brand or that market strategy that goes with it? Because I see them really as kind of one and, or not one and the same, but you have the brand and then you have your marketing strategy that's going to go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are very critical. I mean, you know, one of my favorite tips from the book actually is what I call the wingman strategy. This is probably one of the more fun ones. It is taken from the research of a couple of my favorite psychologists, Robert Cialdini of Arizona State and Jeffrey Pfeffer from the Stanford Graduate School of Business. And what they discovered, you know, this is not necessarily gonna, the first part is not going to be surprising for people, which is that they discovered that if someone is perceived as bragging too much about themselves, people are going to tune out and just not pay attention. They're not going to listen. But the interesting thing that they discovered is that if someone else is essentially bragging about you, then people are going to listen intently and they are going to take it in all in and say, wow, this person's really special. This person's really great. I've got to get to know him or her. And so what I suggest as a consequence is, the wingman strategy, which is that you find a like-minded friend or colleague and you actually make a deal with them. You make a pact and say, at the next event, at the, you know, the next conference or networking meeting, I will talk you up if you talk me up. And it really takes the pressure off of people for self-promotion, which makes a lot of people uncomfortable anyway, mm-hmm. because all you need to focus on is just looking for opportunities to make your friend look good. And, you know, ideally that's something we want to be doing anyway for our friends, but too often we get a little distracted from it. But this is kind of a symbiotic way to begin, building our networks and, building our brand by helping our friends shine.
That's great. So I want to, before I ask you to talk about your services and products and where they can find you and all those things, it just struck me that the new book, Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It, is probably very tied into the brand, but also, and the marketing strategy, but also something really of interest to our viewers and listeners, because as they're thinking about where they are right now and where they want to go, especially if they're aspiring authors, they're trying to figure out how to come up with a book that will stand out amongst mm-hmm. all those millions of books that are released every year, right? So what can you tell them about how to create a standout book idea or an idea and how that ties into their brand?
Awesome. So I have two thoughts about that, Nina. The first one that I'll actually just mention for any of your viewers that are interested in this, if folks go to my website, doryclark.com, D-O-R-I-E-C-L-A-R-K, they can get, I actually created a free 42-page workbook, which is based on my book, Stand Out. And I call it 139 questions to help you find your breakthrough idea and build a following around it. So it's literally a downloadable workbook that people can have and write in and work up their own ideas. So hopefully it has a lot of prompts for them so that they can begin applying these concepts to their own lives. So that's available on doryclark.com for free. But the other thing that I'll say, you know, just broadly speaking, based on the research that I did in Standout, is there are five principal ways that people can begin to come up with their own breakthrough idea. You don't have to do all five of these. One is enough. it's about finding the one that really resonates with you. So the first one is what I call the niche strategy. So just, you know, really basically becoming an expert in a small area and just owning that, and then sort of spreading out incrementally from that. So, I mean, this is the person who says, all right, you know, I'm going to become an expert on cricket, and you know they've got the world's cricket expert, and then before long they start to get quoted about, you know, more and more sports, and they become a sports expert. So it's starting small and then broadening out from there. That's number one. Number two is about combining disciplines. It's very hard if you're just playing in one field to come up with something new, but it's actually a lot easier if you're combining two disparate elements. So because, you know, it just hasn't been done before. So the Lean Startup, which I mentioned in Standout, it's one of my case studies, best-selling book, mega best-selling book by a guy named Eric Ries. He takes lean manufacturing, you know, the ultimate old school industrial era methodology, applies it to startups and technology entrepreneurship. Boom, creates something very new, very interesting to people. So how do you combine disciplines? That's number two. Number three is creating original research. And this can take a lot of forms. This could be, you know, journalistic research where you're interviewing sources and writing about it. It could be, you know, literally doing like product reviews and just sort of be, you know, very thoughtfully reviewing things yourself. It could be doing a case study. It could be doing a statistical analysis. You know, maybe you look at, you know, all the tweets in a certain time frame and you come up with something, you know, whatever it is. But it's about coming up with original fact-based research rather than opinions. So that's interesting. That's number three. Number four is what I call tackling a big idea. And so this is, you know, it might actually sound, you know, different, like, oh, wait, you know, niche is small and, you know, this other one is big. How do they fit together? But really what we're talking about is tackling a worthy problem. And so, you know, the example I give, there's a woman named Rita Gunther McGrath, who's a business professor, a strategy professor. And she wrote a book, and this actually helped her become one of the most lauded business school professors in the world, a business expert. We all know intuitively, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that gets talked about a lot, that, you know, the world's moving faster, there's a lot of disruption. Technology companies that were really prominent a few years ago, like BlackBerry or whatever, you know, they're pretty much kaput now. And they've just, the speed seems to be getting faster. Right. We all know this. The problem is we don't know what to do about it. No one knows what to do about it. Rita McGrath had the chutzpah to be able to write a book to say, here's what to do about it. And so if you are somebody that sees a problem that everybody's talking about, but nobody's got a solution, if you're willing to offer that solution, if you're willing to dive into the fracas, you can really make a difference. So that's number four. And then number five, finally, is what I call creating a structure. And this structure is, or creating a framework, we assume that a lot of, you know, I mean, basically, you know, the assumption, right, is like, oh, all the good ideas have been had. Everybody's, you know, figured everything out. But the truth is, there's a lot of things that are still mysterious. For your viewers who might be involved in screenwriting, for instance, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, how do you write a good screenplay? Well, it, you know, it turns out that it really hadn't been systematized until this guy, who I'm temporarily, as I'm speaking to, forgetting his name, but, you know, he became very famous creating these seminars and creating a structure around how to create screenplays. Like, what is this ideal, this platonic ideal of a screenplay? And so, you know, you have that. Grief. I mean, people clearly have been experiencing grief forever, you know, from the beginning of time. But it took Elizabeth Kubler-Ross to say, well, actually, there's five stages of grief. Here's what they are. You have Maslow in the hierarchy of needs. You know, it's about creating a structure that helps explain the world. So, you know, that's really what we're talking about. So those are five different strategies that people can employ to really come up with an idea that is new and interesting and contributes to the discourse.
Oh, I love that. Oh, those were wonderful. And plus,
thanks.
Plus, since I'm trying to, like I said, I always thought that people saw me as almost like a split personality. You know, I had the stuff I did over here and the stuff I did over here, and yeah, never the twain should meet. And when I started working on branding, I thought I need something that gives an umbrella to all of it. And I'm just now trying to see how to create each one of my, well, maybe not each one, but several of my blogs so that they begin to bring these, what seem like disparate elements or characteristics of me together. And yes, so when you were speaking about that number two, I was thinking, okay, that's great, because that's exactly what I'm doing. And that may distinguish me from all the other people in my niche.
That's great. I love it.
So yeah, so thank you. That made me very excited. But they were all great ideas. All right, so anything that you would like to say just to conclude our discussion about branding and market strategy and creating fabulous ideas? Anything you'd want to just add if you haven't said enough?
Yeah, thank you, Nina. Well, one other thing that I'll mention is for your readers that I have a giveaway that they'll be able to access, I guess, from your site, which is a Reinventing You self-assessment. It's actually probably the most popular part of my book, Reinventing You, and it's a series of questions that they can ask themselves. So similar to the standout 42-page workbook, that's like pretty blown out. It's like, whoa, that is an intense kind of thing. The Reinventing You self-assessment, it's quite a bit shorter. It's maybe 7 or 8 pages, but I've heard from a lot of people that it is interesting and valuable. So they can get that from your website, and then they can get the standout workbook by going to my site, doryclark.com, and signing up for my list. So I'm excited to share both of those resources with them.
Great. And actually, I can even send them the link to get that workbook off your site. So that'd be super. All right. So how can our viewers and our listeners find out more about you other than is it just going to doryclark.com and tell them a little bit about your products and services and anywhere else you want them to find you?
Yeah, thank you very much. So yes, the compendium of all information is at doryclark.com, but also people can connect with me on Twitter at doryclark. And my books are Standout and Reinventing You, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, many other fine locations as well. And I hope people will check them out.
All right, super. And are you available for, do you do coaching and consulting?
I do. I do a lot of speeches, and I also do some coaching and consulting. The caveat is that it is a little bit high priced, but for people who are interested in diving in, please feel free to check it out. It's on my website under the coaching tab, and people can check it out.
Great. And the best way for them to contact you is at doryclark.com.
Yes, exactly. I have a contact form on there, and my email is dory@doryclark.com.
Okay, super. Well, this was great. I mean, this is, like I said, this is one of my favorite topics, and you really taught me a ton, and I'm sure you taught our listeners and viewers a ton as well. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share so much information, and I'm going to go pre-order your new book.
Love it. Thank you very much, Nina.
So thanks so much.
Thanks.
And this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach. Until next time, go out and achieve more inspired results.